Welcome to Intellectually Shallow. Overanalyzing the mundane for not more than 15 episodes.
Woo-hoo!
This is Matt.
And Renee.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hey, guys.
And actually, I got the show count this right. It actually is episode 15.
Work it out.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
One,
episode 15.
Two,
awesome.
Shiny object, 15. That's how I count.
I'm still trying to figure out how many of actually, was it 9 that I started?
I'll have to go look.
I think it was 9. I think 9 was my first one.
Yes.
13, 14, 15, so 6
No, was it
weeks?
Not? No, it was not. No, it was earlier than that. It was like 5.
Because that's 6 weeks.
Because let's put it this way. Episode 1, I did by myself.
Okay.
Episode 2, my friend Rachel guest starred.
Okay.
Episode 3 was Rachel.
Okay.
And then I think you were 4
was
or 5.
Was I 4 or 5?
You might have been 4 or 5.
Okay.
Probably 4.
Okay.
Because I think you were next. I'd not do another one until you.
Okay. So I've done like 10 or 11.
Yes.
That's pretty, wow, 10 or 11 weeks. Nice. Okay, time flies.
This is Monday of Memorial Day.
Yay!
And so,
and we both got the day off.
We both have the day off.
Fabuloso. Matt, okay, so I walked in and instantly could tell that Matt had some sun either today or this weekend.
Well, I'd say most of it was probably today.
Okay.
But I have been bowing around on the scooter all weekend.
I still want one.
I've been calling myself out. I've been repeating things too much, and I just did it.
It's what you do.
I know, and it sounds like crap on air.
Does it? I'm sorry.
It just drives me nuts. It's like, I guess maybe I think about it. I dwell on it too much.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's sort of like...
Because you listen to it. I don't.
Yeah, I listen to the show because I have to edit it and put it out.
Yep, and I don't like the sound of my own voice, and so I tell people about it all the time.
Your voice is fabulous, Renee.
I haven't actually listened. I'm
you
sorry.
You have a great voice.
I listened to one show. I listened to the first one.
Shano thinks so. I think so.
Thank you, Shano. I appreciate it.
Because she said she liked your voice. He said he wanted you to read more articles because... He likes your voice.
That's why I'm a singer. I'm a theater. That's why I do theater. Because I have a nice sexy voice. And again, Matt, let me just point out that I've made it about me.
Obviously.
Yep.
Well, you know.
Matt and I were having a discussion, and Matt keeps saying things, and then I find a way to make it about me, and I just keep trying to remind Matt, in my world, it is literally all about me. I've been single for almost 3 years. Yeah, my world revolves around me. So
what does being single mean? Your world revolving around you?
I don't have another person to think about. I don't have another person to care for or worry about or memorize stupid facts about. Not stupid, because I do like memorizing those things. Like, what do you like to eat? Or what your shift is so I can cook dinner so that you can have something to eat when you get out of work or things like that. But I don't have anybody like that in my life.
No.
So I have plenty of time to pay attention to moi, which is, again, by choice. But yeah. That's why I say my world revolves around me, because I'm single and have been for a long time.
So if you don't want Renee to be single, send in your resume to intellectuallyshallow@gmail.com.
Yeah. I just need to point out that I'm celibate, so that's part of the criteria.
Okay.
Yeah. Just wanted to point that out. Don't bother if you're not celibate. Okay.
Well,
we're moving along. Just putting it out there. I'm all about communication, putting everything out on the table. So, yeah, don't bother if you aren't celibate. But, yeah, moving on.
Well, you're not willing to wait anyway.
Or you're not willing to wait. Excuse me. Yes.
Let's put it out here. So, would you upset if you were just dating and mm-hmm. someone was dating somebody else?
No, because if I'm dating you, I'm dating you.
Okay.
If we're monogamous, we're monogamous.
I see.
If you decide that you want to do something casual and you want something sexual on the side, then I will see you here and there for a date or two or whatever once in a while. But it wouldn't be a relationship. It would be me as a friend hanging out with you because you're sleeping with someone else.
Or getting to know each other. More
yeah.
than really.
Well, getting to know each other. But if you're getting to know me and you can't take the time to recognize that for me, sex is not important and you need it, then no, it wouldn't be a relationship if you're having sex with someone else and dating me. It would be me and you as people hanging out. But no, I wouldn't consider a relationship if you were going out with me and sleeping with someone else. No.
Even if there was nothing physical between you.
Absolutely. Because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's on the same page as me. Someone who doesn't need sex. likes it, wants it eventually, absolutely. My husband will be my God and he will get everything from me he wants. But I don't need it. I need somebody. I need to know that somebody wants me for more than that. And so far, I haven't found that. So that's why I'm single.
You can get. You can go the reverse tack, Renee.
Which is be a whore?
No, no. Well, see. See, this is kind of how guys generally work.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sleep with you first and figure out if they want a relationship later.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you might, there's a good reason that's a decent strategy, because if you sleep with a guy, he decides or not, he's going to be a, have a relationship. Then, you know, he slept with you and kind of got that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So he can focus on just being with you as a person.
Okay.
Instead of spending his time trying to get with you.
Okay. I can see it that way from a guy's point
of
view.
That's just, you know, I'm giving you like the angle.
The other
here.
Side. Absolutely.
A legitimate angle.
Absolutely.
Because once he slept with you, that thing is not a problem. You know, then he's like, well, what am I going to do? And guys don't act this way, obviously, but I'd say quite a few do. I think agreed. More subconsciously than consciously.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree
like
with
if
that.
If you held them down and stuck hot pokers in their ear, in their eyes, they probably would not admit to it.
Yeah.
But most of them do.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm 100% aware of that, which is, I think, the most frustrating thing is that for guys, sex is part of the equation.
Sex is an achievement.
What do you mean an achievement?
Getting, you know, we have to work at getting laid, Renee.
Okay.
And it's like something we work at.
See, I don't think you do, because
you don't think that, but that's not what really happens.
I don't think so. I think that
you think that it's just easy for guys.
I don't think it's easy, but I don't think you guys work nearly as hard as you think you do. I really don't. As somebody who doesn't have sex, I don't think you guys work nearly as hard as you do. I'm talking to a friend of mine who
There's whole industries designed to try to learn, teach guys how to get laid.
I don't think you guys have it as difficult as you think. Guys think that waiting a month is difficult. That's not difficult.
That's the guys that you hang out with.
No.
That you find appealing.
That's
not that you find appealing, but guys you would be possibly interested in. But there's a whole lot of guys out there who go home alone.
No. Not just the guys I'm interested in, and men in general. My friends, I talk to guys. I've had my male friends tell me if they went on a date, which has happened to me, like I told you about the guy that walked out, they told me they would have done the same thing. That's not a guy I'm interested in. That's a friend that I'm speaking to who says to me, and he was in his 30s. Who said to me, yeah, no, absolutely not. If a girl tells me I have to wait more than a month for sex, I'm good. Peace out. It's an obligation now. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. It comes as being part of a relationship. That's how I feel sex is viewed now. It's part of a relationship. It's not something you have to work for. It's not something you have to earn. Now, for the most part with men, it's part of it. If you're not giving it up, then what's the point?
I guess I could see where you're coming from.
That's what I mean.
I think especially, especially guys that are used to getting women.
Absolutely.
And that are the women guys are used to associating with.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Absolutely. And that's my hardest thing is the guys I tend to be attracted to and the guys that I tend to gravitate toward are men like me who are dominant, who, you know, are assertive, but they also are generally pretty decently looking. And so they're used to getting what they want when they want it. They don't have to work for it. They don't even have to ask for it. And then I come along and I say, yeah, about that. Not only do you have to wait for it.
And I think you find that a bit appealing, making a guy who would normally get it
absolutely
wait for
work
it.
For it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I enjoy it a great deal because at least I know that he wants me for me and not my sex. If he's willing to wait, then at least I know he's willing to wait and figure out if there's anything else that he wants to pay attention to. If all he's looking is at my titties and my ass, then I'm good. If you can't have a conversation with me, I'm good. If all you're thinking about is sleeping with me, nope. I'm good. I don't have time for that. Nah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I am cute, so I'm willing to take full credit for that. That men only want me for sex, I mean. Don't joking. I thought I would just bring that back around. But anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Where are we starting? Where would you like to start? Where did we
do? I don't know. We talked about this one article first, but let's go to... Okay. Oh, I think we should start with this one.
Which one?
It's going to make it even harder for you, Renee.
Oh, gosh.
In the New York Times, there's an article. Married couples are no longer the majority.
Yep. Sad. Just so sad.
Married couples are no longer a majority, census finds. This is in the New York Times. Married couples have dropped below half of all American households for the first time, the Census Bureau says. A milestone in the evolution of the American family towards less traditional forms. Married couples represented just 48% of American households in 2010, according to data being made public Thursday and analyzed by the Brookings Institution. This was slightly less than in 2000, but far below the 78% of households occupied by married couples in 1950.
78%.
What is more, just a fifth of households were traditional families, married couples with children, down from about a quarter a decade ago, and 43% in 1950, as the iconic image of the American family continues to break apart. In recent history, the marriage rate among Americans was at its highest in the 1950s, when the institution defined gender roles. I lost my place. Okay.
Where are we? Family life and persons?
No. When the institution defined gender roles, family life, and a person's place in society. But as women moved into the workforce, cohabitation lost its taboo label, and as society grew more secular, marriage lost some of its central authority. The days of Ozzie and Harriet have faded into the past, said Williams Frey, the senior demographer at Brookings, who analyzed the data. The proportion of married couples slipped below half over the past decade, but was first reported as a precise count by the 2010 census. Today, traditional patterns have been turned upside down. Women with college degrees are now more likely to marry than those with just high school diplomas. The reverse of several decades ago, said June Carbone, a law professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and co-author of Red Families versus Blue Families. Rising income inequality has divided American society, making college-educated people less likely to marry than those without college degrees. Members of that educated group have struck a new path. They marry later and stayed married. In contrast, women with only a high school diploma are increasingly opting not to marry the fathers of their children, whose fortunes have declined along with the country's economic opportunities. Employment instability depresses marriage rates, Ms. Carbone said. Explain the reasoning, she said. I can support myself and the kid, but not myself, the kid, and him. You know, but it's okay. This is me paraphrasing. This isn't in the article. But it's okay if the guy goes to work and supports her and the kid. That's fine.
No, I think it's fine both ways.
Well, but I'm just telling you. Let's put it this way. Very few times. I mean, this is... The guys stay home and take care of the house and stuff. There's very few husbands that... There's more and more husbands that do it now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still pretty small.
That stay at home with the kids?
And if they do...
Yes.
You know, the wife is super hard on the guy. Like, everything has to be perfect. And if there's any problems...
See, I know nothing about this. Well, I can't even make a comment.
I just...
Never seen it. Don't know anything about
it. They're held kind of to a higher standard. Let's put it this way. If things aren't the way she wants them, and I've had people tell me this, and if you really think about it, yeah. If they can complain about how dirty the house was,
mm-hmm.
the guy would not throw a fit, and he would just say, I'm sorry, I'll try to do better,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But if the other way around come and said, this house is a mess. You better take care of it. Ooh, what would happen at the house then? The shit would go down. Balls would be thrown. That, you know, I'm just telling you, that's kind of the way it goes.
I can believe that. I'm a perfectionist and I clean for a living, so I can believe that.
And if the guy was homework, and I mean, he might be, you know.
I would hope that I would marry someone that is close enough to me in that sense. Like, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to be a housewife. I'm willing to take care of all of that. But I would like a man who knows how to do it.
You know. But.
But. Oh,
the
yeah.
The guy that actually would care about how the place looked, you would both want it your own way and you would argue over it. You're probably better off a guy who doesn't care that much about it.
Mm-mm, no.
And I'll tell you. Oh no.
Not for me. Sorry.
No.
Again,
you just think what you want. I'm just telling you.
Generalization. Again, that's.
I'm just telling. That's what you think you want.
I've had it. I work best with somebody who works like me.
You're better off having some guy who doesn't really care that much.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Let you do what you want.
Nope.
As long as certain things are met and the place looks good enough for him.
I don't function that way. I need input. I need to know what you like so I can make it best for both of us.
You know?
That's how I function.
Okay.
Me personally. Just saying. I like making the overall decision, but I need to know what you like so that I can make it best for both of us. I'm all about compromise. It's the Virgo in me.
But you need, you know, but you like things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So you need someone who will give.
I do. I absolutely need someone who will give.
On that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Which is why I tend to date Virgos, because we are generally compromisers.
Okay.
So that works out well for me.
But when you're always right, it's hard to compromise, right?
I'm not always right. I'm just mostly right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wonderful at compromise. Ask anybody I've ever dated.
I believe that.
I'm fabulous with compromise. I just have a very high standard is all.
You like to compromise when it goes your way.
No, I like to compromise so everybody gets what they want.
Just as long as Renee gets what she wants.
As long as I get what I want, but you get what you want too. I won't do it if I'm the only person who's satisfied. I won't. It's not my nature. I don't like that. I don't like when people are unhappy because of my choices. It's just how I function. It's great being an abused child. I work toward making other people happy.
W. Bradford Wilcox, the director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, argues that the retreat from marriage is bad for society because it means less security for children. Mm-hmm. It's troubling because those kids are much more likely to be exposed to instability, complex family relations, and poverty, he said. But I'll tell you one thing. I tell you, when a guy doesn't have a job, see, you know, I've probably said this before, but see, the way you girls think about your looks, guys think about their career,
mm-hmm,
and their income.
Agreed.
You know, they take, that's part of who they are.
Absolutely.
Definitely more so than women.
More so. Absolutely. Agreed.
You know, like a house and how the house looks, a woman's woman's image is more wrapped up in the house.
Yes.
Definitely.
For the most part. Yes.
I'm speaking generally.
Again, yeah, generally. Yep.
You can cherry pick specifics.
Well, I'm trying to think of my generation because that doesn't apply to my generation at all.
You know, let's put it this way. I know plenty of girls in your generation complain about the guys they're living with, don't do anything.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be the ones.
Or they do it not the way they like it.
Okay, yes. But what I mean by that is, let me see if I can explain this. The girls in my generation, for the most part, and I'm talking like 22 to 30.
Yep.
22 to 30. Out of me and my friends, I think maybe three of us, and I'm, let's say, a number of like my close friends. Well, there's the six that I love, and then there's the ones I pay attention to. So we'll say 20 people. Out of 20 females, I know probably six of those that actually cook. So when you're talking about the household and appearance, I would see that as a whole.
Well,
that's why I'm confused, I think.
Well, but I think you're right about that. But I'll tell you what. But I think women, even your generation, their self-image is more wrapped up on how their house looks, how it's decorated, mm-hmm. you know, the appearance of the house.
Okay.
even still, I think that still sticks.
Okay.
Maybe not as much as it once did.
Yep.
But it's definitely higher
in females than males.
And females and females.
Absolutely.
I think part of it's culture. I think part of it's just, I'd say most of it's probably
culture.
You know, but a lot of it's probably genetics. A lot of it's just, you know, genetics and evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women were the ones who did all the gathering and the men did the hunting.
Yep. We had more to, I was going to say we had more to show in that sense, but not necessarily.
You know, but I think most of it's, actually really, I think most of it's as much culture as anything. And I think women are definitely attention, on average, the attention to detail is probably a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I wouldn't say all women are have better attention to detail than all men.
No.
Not true.
No.
But on average?
Yes.
I'd say yes.
Yep. No, I agree with that.
So, you know.
Naturally, instinctually, I think it's our job to pay attention.
You know, and they've actually proven women have things like a better sense of smell.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
But, you know, I guess I'm sexist, but, you know, that's just, I'm just, you know.
But no, I mean, when you think about nature and human, it's our job to protect our young if our men are out. So it makes more sense for us to have quicker reflexes. I find when, you know, when we're out places and people like throw a ball or whatever, I'm much quicker because I work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job. And so my reflexes are better. And when you're raising kids, you kind of have to be smell smoke upstairs, or if they're too quiet to pay attention to hear those noises, if I'm doing dishes, or my senses tend to pay attention to the full spectrum rather than what's happening in the room that I'm in. And I think that's the difference that I see with males and females, is that men tend to pay attention more to what's happening literally around them, whereas women kind of pay attention to the whole picture. Genetic, like,
I believe that
naturally. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, that makes sense to me.
You know, like I always said, if you took anything I said in out of context, it would sound very sexist. But really, if you listen to my whole statement, I usually justify.
Yeah. No, a lot of it is based on just human nature and where we've come and where we've evolved to.
And if you try to deny that or gloss over it, you were creating more problems just by denying our nature.
Absolutely. Nature plays a huge, huge factor in most of the decisions we make.
You know, I don't think it's just like, you know, making a statement like women generally pay more attention to detail, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying men don't have that ability.
Mm-mm. That's just saying generally speaking. Absolutely. I agree.
Okay. I like to repeat that because I just want to make myself clear that, you know, I'm not really saying it's one thing when you talk generally,
mm-hmm.
But you can't always apply the generalities to specifics.
No, everybody's life experience is different.
It's sort of like, you know, I don't know if you've ever taken a chemistry class.
Mm-hmm.
Gases behave a certain way. Like if you heat a gas in a container, it will expand.
Mm-hmm. Explode.
That's in general. That's in a group,
mm-hmm.
but any one molecule necessarily doesn't behave that way.
Correct.
People are a lot like gas, believe it or not.
Very much like chemical.
So you can't necessarily apply that to everybody.
No.
And I don't expect to. See, if I would say you would not like that because you're a girl, that would be sexist.
Yes.
Or girls don't like that, so you don't like it.
Correct.
That would be sexist.
Correct.
Just to define the terms. You know, that's just sort of, you know, and sometimes when somebody tells their story, and if it's their story and their direct experience,
mm-hmm.
they may have problems or biases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more forgiving of that than just somebody who repeats some shit they heard on TV.
Correct.
Or something that they were taught by their parents.
Find out your
like,
own research.
If someone's kind of a racist because they were beaten up by a group of black people as a younger person, you know, I'm probably less likely to be harsh on them.
Absolutely.
Than someone who
because
just
had an experience that has altered the way that they see things.
You know, they actually have some direct experience.
Absolutely.
Even though it might be not right, but at least, you know, they have some.
They have something to back it up with.
They have some direct experience to back it up.
You can't just say, oh, I don't like this because I don't and have never eaten it, tried it.
Just because my parents have told me
absolutely.
That over the years. That's That I do not tolerate that shit.
Nope.
At all.
Especially if you were able to find the information out for yourself or know better. Like, look, I can deal with ignorance because it's ignorance. And that's exactly what it is. If somebody is seriously ignorant, then they are ignorant. And I get that. But there's a difference between being ignorant and just being lazy and not bothering to see or figure out or find differently. Yes. Which is why, like, I was talking to a friend the other day about somebody made a comment about my skin color the other day. And she was really upset that I didn't react to it. As a man in his probably 80s, he made some bullshit comment and I just walked away. And she was more upset than I was. And I was like, look, that's ignorance. I can't be mad at him for being an ignorant fool.
He's also 80 years old.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's his generation, his time, his language, all of that was different. I can't be mad at the man because he doesn't know any better.
And I'll tell you a little story. Like when I go home to visit my dad in Pennsylvania, you know, it's a very working class steel type town. Mm-hmm. And I think really, and my dad's probably 75. Mm-hmm. But this is like probably 6 or 7 years ago. So most of his peers were probably mid-60s.
Okay.
And every time they'd talk about somebody, they would say Polish fellow or black fellow or
Mexican or skinny fellow. White girl or
just
whatever.
Their ethnicity would come up without even any kind of like qualification.
Prompting, absolutely.
It would be just the way they thought. Mm-hmm. And I tell you why, I don't like it, but I will give them a pass.
Absolutely. That's how they grew up.
Well, and actually, when you mentioned somebody's ethnicity back then, it told you a lot about what they did, absolutely, where they lived, and what their perceived idea of that was. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was
things were segregated. Things were different. People were in different sectors. People were in different areas. It made sense to say, he's a Polish blah, blah, blah.
And that was like shorthand for certain things that you could accept.
Absolutely. He's Italian, so he's loud.
Or it would not even be a statement. It would not even have anything to be about. It would not even be a derogatory statement.
Okay.
It would just be a point of discussion, like as a description. Like,
yeah.
It would not even, you know, it's not like saying black people are this or white people are that.
Well, I mean, it wasn't derogatory.
I'm it was
loud.
Just
I
like,
didn't think being loud was derogatory. That's why I used
but
that.
But I was just like, it wasn't even as derogatory. It was
just a way of explaining.
It was like a description and it sort of was shorthand for you kind of knew where they lived, mm-hmm. where they worked, what they did.
I went to school with 3 Renees. We were distinguished in different ways. I was black Renee, mm-hmm. or they called me Pepper. There was white Renee. Because she was white, but then there was another white Renee, and we called her Red, because there was a blonde and a red. So it was just about distinguishing. And in that time, those things were said, because that's how it was.
Well, that's just, you know, but that's different. Like, when you're actually talking about how somebody looks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to talk about they're black, or Hispanic, or Indian, you know, East Indian. Because you're talking about how they look.
Yes. And I see what you're saying, is people saying, oh, that black guy.
Or no. Oh,
is that what you mean? Like, okay, so this is what I noticed the other day. A friend of mine would describe, when she was talking about someone white, she would say, oh, do you know that guy, Matt, who went to Deering? Or whatever school. But when she was talking about someone with color, she'd say, do you know that black guy? Or do you know that black girl with the blah, blah, blah? Is that what you mean?
No, more like for example, you know, my friend Jim, he's a black guy. He just bought a new car.
But why would that even come up?
That's the point. That's the point I'm making.
Oh, okay.
They just say it like it was just,
like it was nothing.
Like it was nothing.
Yes.
Like it had nothing to do with the topic.
It's
had nothing
not,
to do with the conversation.
But
it was just like it would instantly have some connotation or something like that.
Okay.
That's what I mean. That's the difference between, like, okay, if I'm telling somebody what you look like,
mm-hmm.
I would say you're black, you're black South African.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because I'm trying to describe you how you look.
Okay,
it's not really that. I mean, see, that's legit. That's like, okay, you're trying to make a picture of somebody so they know what you look like.
Okay,
and there's a reason to break up your your ethnicity or your look, you know, your race, because that's just a description. There's no loaded connotation.
Okay.
Or even, But they would just bring up Polish, black.
Okay, so are you saying if you were describing me to somebody, you would say she's 5 foot, black, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. Okay, okay, okay.
You know, but I would not just say, you know, my co-host is a black girl and she's really smart. You know what I mean? You know, you see what I'm saying? I would not say that.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, but, no, I get you.
You know, it really saying that you're smart has nothing to do with being
black.
With
the fact that I'm black. Gotcha.
But my dad's generation, people would say that.
That's what they said. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Being black is awesome.
You know, it's just like, and it comes out of their mouth, they don't even think about mm-hmm. it.
I dated an Italian guy, and the first time I met his grandfather, he said, and he was so funny, he said, okay, look, so my, and they're from Rumford. I should point that out. They're from Rumford.
I think I might, I think I know maybe their last name. And I'll tell you a funny story about that. Okay. But I don't want to mention their name online. On
okay, no, that's fine.
And this is a family that I used to know in Alquip in Pennsylvania growing up. They lived next door to me.
Oh, wow. And they were from Rumford?
Well, they had cousins from Rumford. And I didn't know about that until I like went to a wedding and I was sitting next
Rumford.
To them.
Let me tell you, my experiences in Rumford were awesome. But anyway, his grandfather, he said to me before we were driving up to Rumford, and he said to me, so I need to tell you, because I knew where I was going. I've been at Millinocket and, you know, bank, whatever. So, okay, I'm well aware.
Most racism in Maine is mostly just out of like ignorance and
absolutely.
Not really knowledge. There's not really any hatred.
It's really just out of ignorance.
Except maybe in Portland, I know some people that really don't like the African community.
Yes. Then they're just foolish.
And they're just like, because they view them as a threat.
Yes. Because they're rubbish.
Because, but, you know, that's just,
they don't know any better. And it's a different form of ignorance. Yeah. It's yet just another form of ignorance.
That's just, you know, but there's no, there, but most people up in Maine, might be like Rumford, Millen, they really just don't have any contact with black people. You might as well be from Mars as far as they're
pretty
concerned.
Pretty much, for the most part. My experiences in Rumford were amazing. I had a heck of a time. They were no different. I really didn't have any issues. But his grandfather, he said to me, so my grandfather still uses language. And he's like, you know, we've been trying for years to change his language. And, you know, I'm just warning you. And I was like, boo, please. I'm good. I'm fine. Okay. So we get there and, I meet his parents, and the next day I meet his grandfather, and I'm sitting in the living room and his grandpa comes in and he looks at me and we chit chat for a little bit. I say hello and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 20 minutes goes by, he's in the kitchen and he comes back in and he sits down and I'm sitting with my boyfriend, and his father, and the grandfather is his mother, my boyfriend's mother's father, not his father's mother. Sorry, his father's father. And he looks at me and he says, you know what? He looks at my ex and he goes, you've done good. And then he looks at me and he goes, you are just the prettiest little black thing I have ever seen. And everybody, it was a family, you know, the family was there for the weekend, 4th of July. And he looks at me and I go, oh, thanks. You know, because what else am I supposed to say? That there was a compliment. It was a complete compliment in his eyes. Sure. Okay. Everybody assumed I would take it differently. That is just language.
And sometimes, you know, I think you can spend your time worrying about this shit. And you can find it everywhere. Because I
absolutely.
Think we're kind of wired for racism, really.
Yes, we are. And yes, we are.
I think, you know, and the key
everyone's
is acknowledge that you have that wiring in you. And try not to let it cloud your decision making.
Absolutely.
What the worst part is when you just realize you're not a racist, think you're not a racist, and everything, every action you make is, you feel that it's like some sort of fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start running into trouble.
Yes.
That's when really bad things happen.
Ugh. That's when Yes. Living in Maine has been interesting. As a person of color, from out of the country, it's an interesting state to live in. And as a person of color who isn't stupid, is actually even more interesting. You'd be surprised how many interviews I've shown up to and they had no idea I was black. And it made it very clear from them, wait, oh, you're Renee. Yep. Uh-huh. That's my resume. I don't have four children by four different men.
You mean you don't write Ebonics in your... You don't speak Ebonics?
Nope. In fact, my sister laughs at me because I sound funny. It's amazing. In this state, I've grown up here and very grateful because I would never have had the opportunities that I've had. However, in the same respect, it makes it really, really difficult because people assume that because it's 2011, that racism doesn't exist. And on a weekly basis, especially in a state like ours, oh, it exists, people. Very, very rampantly, it exists. And people are not nice. You think they are, but they're not. Well, not some of them. Most of them are very nice. But yeah, growing up in Maine is interesting as far as racism. I've had my good share of events here because of my skin color.
We have an article about this. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
But we'll finish this one quick.
Oh, yeah.
Married couples may be half of all households, but that does not mean only half of Americans will ever be married. The overwhelming majority of Americans, with some exceptions, do eventually marry, although increasingly working class people do not stay married. Households are changing in other ways. Americans are living longer than ever, so households now include a growing number of elderly singles, which I am working my way on becoming very soon, says Andrew J. Cherlin, a demographer at Johns Hopkins University.
That's where my brother goes.
Other factors have been the large influx of immigrants who tend to be single people in their 20s and 30s and the growing number of young people who live together without being married. There are 37 states plus the District of Columbia in which married couples make up fewer than 50% of all households, just up from six states in 2000, Mr. Frey said.
Why is the District of Columbia like...
Because it's not really a state.
Oh.
You may need to know that for your citizenship test, Renee.
It's not really a state. It is not a state.
It's the District of Columbia.
Really?
Yes. They do not have a senator or congressman.
I did not know that. Huh. Okay.
You better know that one for your citizenship.
Well, my brother lives there, but I didn't understand. The United States has all kinds of weird names for things. So.
It is technically.
So it's literally. Wait.
It's a district that's controlled by Congress.
But why is. But okay, it's a district controlled by Congress.
Yes.
Meaning.
It's not a state. It doesn't have representation.
Huh.
Because they did not want to. When they. Here's the way history I've heard it.
Okay.
Is that when they built the Capitol, they did not want to put it in any specific state, so they created the District of Columbia.
But why Columbia?
Well, that's just what it was called. I don't know the whole
really?
Reason why it was called that. But the reason why it's a district and not in a specific state.
And not in
state.
A state is because they didn't want any real governing laws?
Well, no, I think it was just a matter of they just couldn't decide what state to put it in, so they didn't want to pick favorites, so they created the District of Columbia.
Really?
Yes. Because before that, it was in Philadelphia.
That's so weird.
That's how I was
taught.
They didn't
want to pick favorites.
Or they couldn't decide like what state the capital was going to be in.
Huh. So we make up a place.
So they just said it's the District of Columbia.
Gotta love America, y'all. Love America. We don't want to name it what already exists, so we'll just make something up. Gotta love America. Yay.
You know, that's...
this country.
Well, come on.
This
really?
Country. Oh, no other country is as pompous and as self-righteous as this country. Okay, continue. Sorry.
And I think the thing was, they kept arguing over what state the capital was going to be in, so someone said, fuck it.
So somebody said,
We'll just declare a zone. Wait,
let's clear that. A man said, fuck it. Not a woman. Men couldn't decide who wanted to be favorites. Men couldn't decide who was supposed to be important. So instead of making one person important, they decided rather than do that, they would just make something up. Awesome.
Well, Renee, let me tell you something. All states are made up anyway.
Well, I know they're all made up, but really?
You put too much importance on lines in a map.
No, it's not about, it has nothing to do with the map. I was actually going.
Okay.
Poking fun at men for being cocky, egotistical bastards.
I don't know about that. I think
That's just my spin on it. Go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you told me. They couldn't decide who was supposed to be favorite, so they made something up, right?
Well,
And in that time, I know women weren't voting, so that would be men.
Actually, I don't know. I was just reading somewhere where women had the right to vote until like the 1700s.
Not here.
Oh, yeah, but I was 1776.
Not here.
But yeah, but what I was thinking is that, hey, you know, it was a decent compromise.
Sure.
It shut everybody up, and they got things done.
Egos were not bruised, and so they were able to move on. Okay.
And you know, women would just argue about what color the curtains would be in the White House.
But we'd get it done without egos.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Women are kind of competitive.
We are competitive, but our egos don't get the best of us. Women generally tend to make people happy. They're mothers, they're sisters, they're caring, they're touch. That's what women are. We don't want to fight, generally speaking. We want to make everybody happy. We're going back.
Oh. Oh.
What just happened?
I think the cat is fucking with the thing.
Really?
I think he must have pushed on something.
He needs that much attention.
I'm not sure what he just did. I think you might, you know, we might have to. We're back. We sort of straightened out the cat issues. I don't know what he was. It must have been like, I don't know if he's messing with the thing in and out. Who knows? But we're back to our article.
Hello.
In all 41 states, show declines in traditional household of married couples with children. In 2000, married couples with children were fewer than 20% of all households in just one state, plus the District of Columbia. Now there are fewer than a fifth in 31 states, Mr. Frey said. The biggest change of the decade was the jump in households headed by women without husbands, up by 18% in the decade. The next largest rise was households whose occupants were not a family, up by 16%. And that's the end of the article. You know, so basically, I think, especially with, I think, working class people, mm-hmm. because I think men, you know, if men aren't working, which I think there's a lot of working class men who aren't working
mm-hmm.
or have real sporadic work, that, you know, part of it is, I think they feel, part of it is women really don't want a guy who's not working.
Absolutely.
And a guy who's not working feels really bad about himself, and I think he takes it out on his family.
Yes.
I think both things actually make that the double combo of, you know, and I think working, you know, so I, you know, because I know a lot of working class people who are in and out of jobs all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they spend months unemployed, and then they find a job 6 months, 3-4 months later, making less money than they were making.
Yeah. I've been out of work now for 4 months.
And so I think that there's a lot of, and I think men, I think that damages the relationship, men not working rather than when women aren't working.
Well, I think also men tend to take it harder if they're not working, if they're not taking care of their family. And that can be really hard on a man and coming or being home and trying not to take that out on his family.
You know,
if you take that personally, that you are if you have always been or the mass majority of the income coming in, I can't imagine what that plays as far as psyche on a man. And sorry, sweetie.
You can play over with you. I'm just trying to keep him off the soundboard.
Yeah, I know, but he was like stepping on stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, no.
I think that's just, you know, I think that definitely is.
In our culture, as far as the U.S., the man takes care of the family. That's the norm for here, for the U.S., for mm-hmm. our culture. And so when a man is out of work and can't take care of his said family, yeah, I can imagine that that does not work well for the rest of the family.
And I think it affects women and men.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think it's the double whammy, really.
Absolutely.
I think it's a double hit.
And it's hard, especially if you have children. It's one thing if you're a couple, you know, before kids who are struggling with money, it's easier to be, okay, good, good. When you have a child's, you know, welfare at hand, then it's much harder to not take it so strongly that you're not working and not able to provide what you want to provide for your family.
This is true. Well, we can go to our next article.
Ooh. Do-do-do. Where are we going?
We are going to What a Chore.
Oh.
Housework is bad for both sexes.
Blah.
You know.
Okay, and so this is from where?
This is from Time, actually.
Oh, okay.
Time Magazine.
Time Magazine?
It's like their health column.
Okay. What a chore. Housework is bad for both sexes. Ever use that excuse about how doing housework after you get home from work may be stressful? Or sorry, let's try that again. Ever use the excuse that about how doing housework after you get home from your paying job is so stressful that it's bad for your health? Turns out, you weren't wrong. A new study suggests that for both men and women, cleaning up after you get home prevents the body from reducing its levels of stress hormone cortisol, which is a bad thing when you're supposed to be unwinding. The study, which is published in the Journal of Family Psychology, followed 30 Los Angeles couples in which each partner worked outside the home. The couples all had at least one child between 8 and 10 years old, the age at which children don't need a lot of intensive help getting dressed or with gross motor skills, but at which they are very unlikely to have gotten into a habit of cleaning up around the home. The authors closely tracked the activities and cortisol levels of each couple. They found that when housework got done, couples' cortisol levels dropped, but it depended on who's actually doing the work. When men pitched in with the work, women's cortisol levels went down, perhaps because the women no longer had before them the specter of doing it all alone. I don't know if that's quite the case, but okay. But men's cortisol levels dropped only when they were not doing housework and their partners were, perhaps because the guys knew, that not only as the homework was getting done, but also...
Housework.
Oh, sorry, housework. Excuse me. You know I work with kids. Housework was getting done, but also they didn't have to do it. While the hormone cortisol helps us get ready for challenging tasks, our bodies do not respond well to having it at peak production levels at all times. After peaking during the day, cortisol is supposed to drop in the evening. Consistently high cortisol levels appear to lower our resistance to physical ailments, and some studies have suggested that they even lead to early death. That's kind of drastic. The Karn study also found that about 30% of women spent their after-work time doing chores, compared to men, 20%, after 19% of men engaged in leisure activities after work, compared to 11% of women. This does not augur well for the future equitable sharing of chores among working couples with children, which, as the Los Angeles Times pointed out, are large in numbers. More than half of parents with kids under the age of 6 both worked outside the home. Neither does it bode well for the further of domestic relations, or at least in LA. On the other hand, maybe men will be motivated to do extra load of dishes knowing that their effort might help their partners live longer. Either that or we're all going to have a we're all going to have to live happily with a little more less.
Mess.
See? Wow. I should stop drinking. Maybe that's my problem tonight.
Okay. There's another third solution.
What is the third solution?
Hire a nanny to do your housework around the house.
Heck yeah. Well, not me.
Or domestic.
The people who work for
hire
me.
Hire domesticgoddess.com to do your domestic chores around the house.
There you go.
Your life depends on it.
I'm telling you.
Maybe you should post. You know what? You should put this article and put it on your and link to it on your Facebook page.
I should.
Good. Because you know that's marketing.
You need
to hire me because your life depends on it. Do you want to die early?
Oh my goodness! Your life depends on not cleaning.
It's you know. So that's good. Win-win there.
No, that's making a lazy society. Bullshit. That's how I feel about it. Bullshit. That's an absolute bullshit excuse. I'm sorry. Well, no. Okay.
Well, let's put it this way. We can go back to the 50s.
Yep.
Like you were talking about it.
I'll be happy.
Housewife.
I'm telling you.
But 50s housewife, the women did the cleaning and the guy came home, ate dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And had a scotch.
Absolutely.
And watched Jack Benny.
I don't want completely 50s. I just want kind of 50s.
Yeah.
I don't like.
You want the 50s part where you don't have to work.
No, I want the 50s part where I wouldn't mind working. I don't mind working.
Okay.
I would prefer to be a 50s housewife as far as staying home and taking care of my babies, because after all, I want 8 children. But
wow. You know what? You're not helping your chances of finding a guy who tells somebody you want 8 children.
That's okay. If you don't want
most
them,
guys,
then move along.
Most guys are a little overwhelmed with like 1 or 2 kids.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm good for 1, and 2 is about my max.
My minimum is 3, so there you are. Again, we'll figure that out when I really have an income and figure out if I can do it. But I love the 50s, with the exception of, you know, women being lower class citizens.
You know, but the housework was done by the women, but they did not have to work during the day, no. Which I think was, so I think that was probably less, they were probably less stressed.
I wouldn't say they were less stressed.
I don't think they were very happy.
I wouldn't say they were less stressed.
But, you know, I think what happened is they ended up working and still having to do the lion's share of the chores. So I think they kind of got the bad raw deal.
They did get the raw deal. Women absolutely got the raw deal in that one.
But in that case is women have more choices than men in our modern society.
Yes, I do agree.
Because guys basically go to work or go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. If I put on a Facebook profile saying, I want to be a house husband and have some woman take care of me, nobody will respond to my ad. But if I go the opposite, you'll get some responses.
I don't know about that. I think you might get one or two. There are enough women now who are more than willing to.
But you would get overwhelming more responses.
Of the opposite, yes.
Even in today's society.
Yes, agreed.
You know, because women do not want a guy.
No,
I think women are more wired for guys to be more successful than them. I think I don't necessarily mean that's in every case,
mm-hmm.
but I think, you know,
generally speaking, women are looking for men to take care of them.
Or who?
That's kind of how we've been wired.
Or at least they want guys to have more status than them. Like they want the guy to be more successful than them.
Okay.
I think it's as much a status thing as it is.
Is it more of a I don't want to be embarrassed by what you do thing or a status thing?
That's the same thing.
Is it the same thing?
Yes.
Because
they want a guy to have the same status or higher than they are.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Same or higher.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
And probably they'd prefer higher.
Yes, they prefer higher.
But they can live with the same.
But they can live with the same. Absolutely. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Guys, not necessarily. As long as you're hot.
Yes. I can completely agree with that.
And do what we say.
As long as their penis agrees, they're good.
As long as they're hot and they do what we say.
And
we're good.
As long as they... Oh.
Like I said, it's good. Simple, not easy.
Agreed. Yes. Simple, not so easy. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There is a difference.
There's simple and easy, and then there's simple and not so fucking easy.
Yep.
Yes, agreed.
Not the same thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Sorry. Where are we going now?
I have no fucking idea.
Oh, Matt.
Okay.
Oh, Matt. We can talk about my people.
Hire Renee's company to help you. Your life, very well, life depends on it.
It'll make it easier at the very least. We offer a great deal of services as far as your home, so it will make it a little bit easier.
You know,
I'm pretty good at what I do.
If I wasn't so cheap and I didn't already have somebody, I'd have Renee clean my house. Renee's company clean my house.
We do a pretty good job. I have a pretty decent reputation. I like what I do. I love cleaning. I really do. I enjoy it. I don't ever really want to work again, and I would prefer to just be a boss forever. Yeah, someday. I'm giving myself the next year to get it back to where it was last year. That's my goal.
We've tackled sex.
We've
talked about race.
A little bit, yep.
A little bit.
Yep.
We've talked about...
Porn.
Relationships.
Porn.
We haven't talked about porn yet. That's sex. We haven't really talked about sex. We've talked about gender.
Yes.
Gender roles in relationships.
Oh, we haven't gone to the porn yet.
We've talked about sex. We did skirt race a little bit.
So, yes.
But we did not have an article about race.
No.
But we have not really talked about sex specifically.
Yeah.
But we can... I'm a big, we have to talk about this article. It was in like the Telegraph in the UK.
Are we talking about sex now?
We'll talk about race.
Oh, racism. Right. We're going race, sorry.
Because I always like to read articles about white people behaving badly.
Okay.
Because, you know, the sad thing in modern, I would say America and probably Western society,
mm-hmm.
white people. We're the default.
Mm-hmm.
We really are.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody else are in reference to us.
Yes.
I'm just telling the story. I don't think it's necessarily good or right.
Okay.
I'm reporting, not
simply reporting,
not validating or encouraging.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm glad you got that out there.
Just so you know.
Okay.
So I'm not, you know, I'm a bit more ethnic than your average white guy.
But I have to say sounds hilarious coming from you as I'm sitting here with you and listening to you say that I'm more ethnic.
Well, because I'm not like a real American, because my family came from like, you know, other parts of the world. Like, I did not grow up, you know, my family did not speak English. My parents spoke English. My grandparents did not speak English as a first language.
Okay.
And my mother did not speak.
Oh, so you're only second generation?
Oh, yeah.
Where's your family from?
Well, let's see. I'll explain this one. I am a fourth Spanish.
Okay.
That's where my surname comes from.
What kind of Spanish?
From Galicia, which is like northern Spain.
Okay.
It's like, if you know, I don't know if you understand the geography of Spain.
Terrible.
Right? There's geography. Spain. It's sort of.
Yep.
It's like southwest of France.
Southwest. Okay.
But there's Portugal.
Yep.
Portugal is very far west.
Yes.
And Portugal does not go all the way up. Mm-hmm. There's a little nub above Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
That is Galicia.
Galicia. Okay.
And that's kind of where my grandfather's from. He came from Spain.
So you're a Spaniard?
Yes.
That's all? What else are you?
No, we're getting to that part.
Oh, okay.
I got more. Actually, technically, I could almost consider my grandfather came through Cuba, actually.
So how much Spaniard are you?
Fourth.
Fourth. Okay.
That's where my surname comes from.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was like,
don't say my last name.
Sorry. My bad. You can take that out.
I will.
Yeah. My bad.
Because it's not like me doing the show is not a huge secret for everybody I know.
Yeah.
But I just don't want some douchebaggy freaking
woman
with her head in the bun, who's afraid of any controversy whatsoever, judging me on a job that really the show doesn't really count.
No, I hear you. I forget that you have like a profession. I work for myself for the most part, so I forget.
I have some sort of professional reputation in and outside of what I talk about on this show.
Absolutely.
The people, if you just heard 5% of what I said, if you stumbled onto the show and listened to the wrong 5%, you would completely get the wrong idea about me.
You would think you were a douche.
Yes, which I am really not.
No, he really isn't. He really isn't.
I have opinions and I like talking about them, but I don't know.
If anybody were to bother to listen and you happen to be talking about, oh, I don't know, your kid rearing strategies.
Oh, yeah, that's just comedy.
Yes.
That's just comedy. Hey, let me tell you something.
Oh, God.
All the married friends where I work with have kids. They think that's funny as shit.
Of course they do.
Oh, they think it's hilarious. They understand completely where I'm coming from. They're like, maybe we should send our kids to state because they're such pains in the asses. And they take up all our time.
Yes, but again, they think it's a joke because they wouldn't take it seriously.
Of course not. That's why it's funny. But don't think that has not crossed. Till I brought it up, it's like,
good,
really?
Then you should be telling your friends with kids that I need a job.
I do that all the time. Well, let's put it this way. I mean, I work in a pretty professional setting,
mm-hmm.
but they're not at the same level where they have nannies.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? We make good money, but... We do not make nanny money.
We do not make nanny. And I am not a cheap nanny.
No.
No. I'm good at what I do. So, no, I am not a cheap nanny.
No, I am not of that social strata.
Gotcha.
In my job.
Gotcha. Yeah, my fee is not cheap.
Okay, here's an article that's in the Telegraph UK, which is sort of like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a tabloid, but it's not. I think it's more like the New York Press of England.
The fact that I now realize it's from the UK actually changes the whole complete way that I look at this. But
they talk about Americans. This is what the article is. That's sometimes more interesting because it's the English people look at us.
They're judging.
And, you know, and actually, the funny thing is, Like, I would never, you know, we get a better idea of what other people think of us, mm-hmm. like from the British press about America.
Mm-hmm.
But they have their bias on their press, like about their country.
Yes. Yes.
So necessarily the BBC might not be the most reliable news about the British government, but it's probably better, more interesting about American government or like the Middle East.
Because it's not theirs.
It's not theirs.
They can look into it.
And they have, and they actually do journalism as opposed to reading press releases, which is what our news does.
Great.
So, you know, I think here's an article in the UK. Racism. Jesus. That's not about Asia. Racism is worse for white Americans than black Americans. This is not, I'm not making this a true statement. This is just the headline of the article. The study polled roughly 200 white people and 200 black people, drawn at random from a national census, and asked them to rate racist attitudes against blacks and whites in each decade from 1950 to 2000. Both groups felt racism against black people was substantial in the 1950s, and both groups agreed the situation had markedly improved. However, white respondents to the survey indicated that racism is now on the rise against white people. 11% of people responding to the survey gave anti-white racism a maximum rating of 10 points. The author said the research showed that America had not yet reached a post-racial era despite the election of Barack Obama as the country's first black president. Instead, they said there are still several illegal social controversies highlighting reverse racism against white people, and that white respondents to the survey felt that racism is now a zero-sum game. The less racism that is directed against black Americans has been accompanied by a rise in perceived biases against white Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Whites believe the pendulum has now swung way beyond equality in the direction of discrimination, if added. This is a pretty surprising finding when you think of the wide range of disparities that still exist in society, most of which show black Americans with worse outcomes than whites in areas such as income, home ownership, health, and employment, said Samuel Somers, an associate professor of psychology at Tufts, who co-authored the study.
So my brother did his undergrad.
David E. Bernstein, or Steen, a professor of law at George Mason University, told the New York Times that the U.S. policy of affirmative action, which sees universities and employers overtly favor black candidates over whites, had led many whites to complain about the unfairness of the system. It is not terribly surprising that whites subjectively perceive discrimination against members of their own group as an especially significant and growing problem. Even though, objectively speaking, bias against blacks is far more pervasive, problematic, and ill-intentioned, he said.
Yeah.
Let me give you, let me sum this up.
White people are bitching for no reason.
No. But I'll tell you what it is. It's the same theory. I'll tell you, it works the same. This is the same sort of cognitive bias that exists that, like, the stranger danger with, like, kids.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about all these horrible things happening to kids,
mm-hmm.
and they've actually done some studies that kids are probably better off trusting a stranger than not trusting a stranger.
Oh.
Because when a kid's in real danger, if he would have trusted a stranger,
he might get the help.
He might have gotten help sooner and less likely to be in trouble.
Mm.
On average,
yes,
you know. But we hear in the news. I have to say our friends at Fox News are probably the biggest offenders of this. about black people getting this break, black people collecting welfare, black people doing X, and black people getting special preference for college or fireman tests or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I think they don't really get is for every black person that qualifies for these things, there's a hundreds for every one black person that qualifies for like the fireman test or gets into college or goes to law school, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of black people who don't even come close to having a chance of competing for those slots.
Absolutely.
A, they came from poor families. B, black people go to prison way more than white people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 60% of white people. 60% of drugs are done by white people, And 60% of the black people, 70% of the black people go to jail for drugs.
Yep.
You know, so really, you know, once you go to jail, that sort of closes off a lot of opportunities for
you. Absolutely.
You are not going to become a policeman or a fireman or a civil servant if you have a criminal record.
Absolutely.
You may get into college.
Mm-hmm.
But
you could potentially skirt your way, you know, explain for whatever reason, if you went to jail as a minor, you might be able to explain, you know, oh, I was 15 and a kid. But if you were anything over above that and black and let's say even male.
But you're not going to get that job in a government that requires a security clearance.
Nope. Nope.
And so really, this is bullshit.
Absolutely.
It's all people repeating shit over and over again. Well, then it feels that it becomes reality. It's like, I've always mentioned this. It's like you repeat things and then you feel.
And eventually it becomes reality.
It becomes reality to you.
Absolutely.
And I think there's a certain population, and I'm not going to say who, but that's, they feel a certain reality, and they feel that reality has to be maintained, and they will do anything to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
The same people that sprayed people fighting for civil rights in Alabama and spread lies and deceit to preserve their way of life. Or
absolutely.
That perceived way of life. It's probably not even true.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think that bothers me about most of this. It's a perceived way of life. Mm-hmm. It's not an actual way of life. You're continuing all of this for something that doesn't actually exist.
No.
Like that, really? Really?
And black people are more likely to get arrested just because they're black.
Yep.
And it's proven almost.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're a fairly affluent black person and you have a nice car and you drive through a neighborhood, you were probably going to get pulled over.
What was the guy that got arrested for trying to break into his own house the other day, a few months back?
Or it was like a year or so.
Was it that long?
He was like a Harvard professor.
Yeah, he was a Harvard professor who locked himself out of his own house. His neighbors called the cops on him. His neighbors. They didn't even bother to find out who he was.
And it was like in Cambridge. It was a pretty freaking white place.
Yeah. His neighbors called the cops on him. And even once the cops got there and he showed his ID, he was still arrested after he proved on his license that that's where he lived. That to me, how can you?
Well, let's put it this way. If you talk to the quote unquote white establishment media, right wing mostly, you know, they said he probably did not defer enough respect to the officer and probably deserve to be arrested.
Right.
I'm not saying that's I'm just calling myself again. Uh-huh. I'm saying that I don't think that's necessarily true. But that's what was said.
Absolutely.
He smarted off to the officer.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we all know that
black
line for black people was a
he
lot.
He was black.
that line to cross for black people is a lot shorter than it is for white people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My twin brother at 13 was held at gunpoint by three officers at 13, having done nothing. He was in the backyard of our house in our fence, like in our yard. And cops came in at 13. Color, please. Yeah, no. Bull. Color is a huge thing, and unfortunately still in this country. It's a huge thing, and I think that when people sit there and try to pretend it doesn't exist, it just makes the problem worse. It just makes the problem so much worse. Especially in a state like ours, where we are predominantly white, it makes it really harder, I think, sometimes for people. I've had instances in classes where I've talked about different things, and people go, that doesn't happen because we're, really? You're not black. How on earth would you know? How on earth would you know what I go through on a daily basis?
And let's put it this way. If 10% of crap that happened, if white people feel that they're quite the lightest bit slighted by like the cops, or they're screaming at their house, screaming that the whole world's coming down, and they're like at the tea party.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel the slightest bit of oppression, you know, feel like they're scrutinized by the police.
By the police.
They're at the tea party complaining about the government.
Yeah. When you've been held at gunpoint at 6:30 in the morning by three grown white males, then you can tell me how you feel oppressed. Okay. That's happened. Yeah.
And so, you know, this is all perception.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely. All 100%. Perception. All perception. Which, I mean, again, I can't be mad at perception because it's how you feel. I can't say you're wrong for how you feel. But
I tell you who to be pissed off at?
Who?
The people that encourage and generate the perception.
Absolutely.
Those are the criminals. I'm not going to mention any names. We all know who they are. Mm-hmm. They're a major cable news network.
Just saying.
Starts with the letter F.
F ends with X. Might have an O in there somewhere.
And several talk radio hosts who like to talk on the radio, and there are more than I really care to count. Mm. All you have to do is listen to the AM radio in most towns in America.
Okay. And you will find
You will find who you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And it's pretty much 7x24 with like maybe some relationship show or some show about pets. The rest is all people talking trash.
Yep. About other people.
About how, you know, the government is oppressing them. Mm-hmm. When they're the ones benefiting the most.
Absolutely.
How rich people have it so difficult.
Do you know what I found out?
They have to pay. They're so put out because they have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
That's just part of the deal, too.
Again, 26%. Only 26% of the national, of the nation graduates from college as of 2010. 26%. And everybody wonders why so few people have power.
And I don't think, and I'll tell you the real truth is, that's the problem with America. Is it really, I don't think everybody should go to college. I don't think that's the truth.
Not everybody's made for college.
No. We need to encourage, I mean, we need to have some sort of alternative sort of thing. Like in Germany, they have apprenticeships.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, there's options for like, you know, other people. And really, there's like trades. Like if you're a plumber, you make a lot of money.
Absolutely.
I mean, because every plumber I know that doesn't drink too much and has a modest amount of business sense. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be like freaking Bill Gates.
No.
You just have to have a modest amount of business sense, and you just need not to drink too much and like to work more than you drink.
Absolutely.
You will probably make $100,000 a year.
Absolutely.
Not every year, but most years.
My aunt is a interpreter for sign language. She's mm-hmm. a sign language. Are you kidding me? She makes bank. And it's because she knows it. I mean, she took a few courses to get, you know, certified. But I think anybody can make money if you just find what your niche is.
And sometimes, you know, it's – but I think we do a disservice by telling everybody that they should go to four-year college.
Absolutely.
They need to have some sort of training after high school. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I think that's what we really need to emphasize for a lot of kids. Because I think we do a lot of kids a disservice by making them go to college when they're really not ready, or they're not, you know, they're just not that person.
Mm.
And
I think part of the problem is also here, as far as this country, from what I can see, and my freshman year of college and my friends, is that we're not really prepared. I mean, we spend 18 years for the most part in home where our parents make all of these decisions for us. And then we get to a place where we have literally complete control of everything. It goes from nothing to everything all at once.
I see.
Freshman year, I mean, that's what it is. Freshman 15, you know, parents are willing to let their kids be bi-curious. And all of these things happen your freshman year of college because parents have been like, okay, I have you on a leash until you're 18. And then you walk away and you kind of get like massive freedoms of everything. I don't know how many of my friends my first year of college flunked out because they had no real understanding of what it meant to make a decision for yourself. So they just ran a freaking amok. And by the time I came home from December break, at least 20% of my classmates had failed out of their first semester of their college because they didn't understand time management.
Well, I think maybe college is not for everybody.
Absolutely.
And I think we're doing a disservice by if you don't have a degree, a four-year degree, you're a complete failure in life, which is completely not true. But I think that does exist.
I think
that perception exists to some degree.
But I feel like the people who don't graduate college and aren't a failure in life are generally people who are naturally just not, I don't know how to explain it. They're not stupid. They're smart. They're street smart, or they're, you know, there's something else that keeps them at a level so that they can succeed. It's not that if you don't go to college, it's not necessarily that you're not going to be a success, but the people who don't graduate college and are a success aren't lazy.
Oh, I think
is that
what I'm trying to say is some people are kind of forced into a certain mold that they really, that it's very expensive, right? They go to college and they might even graduate, but really they're not cut out to be like a philosopher.
Well, yeah. Well, middle-class families, parents always want better for their kids, and I think that's part of...
But sometimes, you know, you are not going to have a job in your degree, and you end up just going back to, like, a working-class job. Like,
yeah.
You go back to being, a
waitress.
A waitress or a carpenter
or
a plumber, and you might be a better person because you learned those things, but I don't know necessarily that it's really to saddle somebody with $75,000, like, you know... 50 grand in debt to go back to swinging a hammer, which you could have probably done with about another, 2 years of training out of high school, apprenticing.
Absolutely.
And you would be financially in the same boat, and you'd be better off.
Absolutely.
From a financial perspective,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, college is kind of an investment.
It is.
You have to think of it. I always think of things like an investment in you.
Mm-hmm.
And some investments pay more than others.
Absolutely. And it's all about what you choose to put forth.
Especially if you have to borrow money to go to school. If you don't have to borrow money to go to school, the calculations are a little different.
Mm.
But if you have to borrow money to go to school, you've got to pay those loans back.
And depending on what you're going to school for.
But the loan costs are almost the same.
Well, kind of. Well, yeah, they're the same.
The actual price you spent.
But paying them off is different depending on what you make.
Exactly.
I mean, depending on what you major in.
And it's an investment in you, but you have to pay that investment back.
Back. Absolutely.
It's not always a monetary calculation necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to borrow a lot of money, it becomes a monetary calculation.
Mm-hmm. I have a ton more to pay back. My brother's an actual doctor. He'll have his paid off in 5 years, and his wife. He's paying for school for her right now, currently. I wish. He'll have his loans paid off in less than 10 years. I won't.
I've been pretty lucky. One of two reasons. Like, when I went to school in the early 80s, if you weren't poor...
You could go to school.
No.
No?
There was no aid. Nothing.
Really?
Like, 1982, all student aid dried up. Like, loans. There was the guaranteed student loan.
Mm.
If your parents were middle class at all, you got nothing.
Wow.
You get scholarships still.
Yeah.
And school was not nearly as expensive, but there just wasn't that much money there at the time.
To give. Gotcha.
Then later on, they came up with all these crazy loans and stuff so people could finance it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pay money. You know, my father had a little bit of money, and he worked overseas, and I didn't go to real expensive school, so I didn't have a lot of debt. And I had scholarships, too.
See, I've been emancipated forever, and so my debt is mine.
And I had no debt.
I wish.
So I
wish. Ugh.
And then I went in the military, and I was lucky that I didn't have a whole stack of debt.
Yeah.
And I had scholarships. Like, my first year, I didn't pay school. The second year, I had a little bit of money. I had, a scholarship for tuition. Then the third year, I didn't have... My father paid for most of it.
Nice. Very nice.
But there wasn't that much. I flunked out. He got pissed at me.
Matt.
He called me a loser, and he said, you're just going to live in the ditch or something. Oh my father was horrible.
I would have been mean to you, too.
Well, you're also a bitch.
Yep, absolutely.
But, it didn't make me achieve anymore. It just made me sad and go just wanted to, kill myself.
Oh, stop being a pansy.
So it didn't really help me at all. it was just gave my dad license to abuse, to be a dick.
He had every right to be. His money, not yours. You wasted it.
Also, I didn't waste as much as he liked to put on.
Yeah, but it was still not yours a lot to of waste. Money. It wasn't yours to waste. Still wasn't yours to waste.
Well, we won't talk about that.
Okay.
I know that when you came out of the womb, you got yourself a minimum wage job, Renee. But I was he was mad. What it was necessary ways, but
well, no, that's good. That would have been nice.
And I didn't have a lot. I mean, it wasn't like I always went to pretty reasonable schools. I didn't spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any money. There really, I mean, I could not go. I could not, you know, if my father said he wasn't going to pay for school.
Then that was it.
I was not going to school.
Yeah.
Period.
That's where I am now.
And so then I got out and I joined the military.
And okay.
And then when I got out, I had the GI Bill a little bit. It's not like it is today. Today it's like really good. They actually pay for school.
It's really good right now. I actually talked to a recruiter for the Air Force a little while ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's actually really good. They get a signing bonus. They pay for once you finish. I mean, the guy talked the whole thing up to me.
Oh, obviously.
Of course, because I'm not a citizen yet.
But you are a resident. You are a permanent resident.
I am a permanent resident.
And I think if you're a permanent resident, you can enlist in the service.
If you're a refugee, if you're a asylee, you can list in any spectrum. It doesn't matter.
And I think there's actually, if you're in the military, there's like a fast track to citizenship.
Nope. They make that very clear on all of their websites. There's not a fast track to citizenship.
Okay, I just heard that one from somebody. But if you're, as long as you're, if you're a permanent resident,
mm-hmm.
you can be in the military.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be a citizen.
You don't even have to be a permanent resident.
No? Okay.
No. They will take anybody. You can be a refugee. You can be a asylee. You do not have to be anything close to a citizen for them to take you.
Especially if you have a skill that they really want.
Absolutely.
Like language.
So long as you can exactly.
If you're an Arabic speaker, they'll suck you right in. They will find you.
If you speak Arabic right now, they will. Yes, then they will fast track your citizenship.
They will put you will not, they will not, like, they will check your background, but I had appendicitis when I was 13. He actually
asked me. The guy asked me if I spoke Arabic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he asked me, and I said, no, I don't. He said, that's too bad, because I can make you a citizen in, like, a couple of months. And I said, what? And that's it, is they're so desperate right now. They're so desperate.
As long as you're not gay. If you're gay, speak Arabic.
Nope, they'll take you.
I guess they will. But
they'll take you.
But they have kicked out.
You just can't say shit about you being gay.
Don't ask, don't tell.
There you go. Technically, it's still in.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll take you. Now, it's amazing, though, the way that they've opened up. They'll take anybody.
Basically, you know, GI Bill was for me.
If you don't have a GED, they will help you get it.
Yep.
That's how desperate they are right now.
If you have something they really want.
Absolutely.
Actually, my friend... friend of mine, he was from Indonesia,
mm-hmm.
and actually they were going to take him, but I think his citizenship was sort of sketchy, and he had tattoos on his arm, on his hand, which is
they don't take tattoos.
No, they got to be they can't be above the neck
or below
past the wrist.
Yep.
And that was part of the deal. But I think his citizenship was kind of sketchy, so I think he would have got deported. He ended up getting deported later on,
ouch,
like a couple years after that.
You shouldn't even have bothered.
But that's not why I got deported. I got deported for something else. You got busted for something else.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, so the GI Bill now is like they pay tuition. Mm-hmm. They give you like $1,000 a month for expenses.
They give you a monthly stipend. They pay your part. I mean, he worked. I was like, holy crap. He was like, you can make this much per month without actually having to do anything. I was like,
you know, I got the GI Bill when I got out. Mm-hmm. So I went to computer school.
Okay.
It was basically $400 a month for 36 months.
Wow.
That was it. Wow. That did not pay shit. It paid the rent on my apartment.
Yeah,
that was
pretty
it.
Much.
That
pretty
was
much.
It. I still had to work.
Yeah, but that's still a decent, I mean.
It was like, it definitely helped.
Yeah.
But really, if that's all I had.
I think the average signing bonus right now is like $10,000.
Yeah, Well, in the early 90s, they really weren't looking to keep people in the military. So it was sort of like, when I was in the Coast Guard, I was getting out. There was guys, because the Coast Guard would take people if you were prior service.
Mm-hmm.
There were guys that actually were like Air Force. They got rifted out. They got booted. They still had to come back. They rejoined like the Coast Guard.
Oh.
So they were like, Desert Storm was winding down. They kicked a lot of people out. Like George Bush Sr., he did actually cut back on the military.
On military.
He did, seriously.
Okay.
I remember that.
Yeah, I don't. I wasn't here.
And I was
I was here, but I was too young.
This is like the early 90s, like 91.
Yeah, that's when I got here.
That's Gulf Storm.
I got here.
And so they were cutting back. So GI Bill, they didn't want people in the military. They were trying to get rid of people. So there was no incentive to join.
Now
really.
There's a serious
and
incentive.
And the economy sucked, believe it or not, in 1991.
Actually, I was just watching a thing called Freakonomics.
Freakonomics.
Freakonomics, yeah. Yeah, I watched that last night. That was actually a really good movie.
It's a book, actually, too.
Yes, I haven't read the book. I found the movie last night through something else. But yes, I would like to read the book at some point. But yeah, that was actually a really, we're talking about the 80, was it 89?
Yeah.
Why the economy did, or sorry, why, oh, sorry,
between
violence.
Between like the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a couple things that were interesting. Why drug dealers live at home, because mm-hmm. most of them don't barely make minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I read the book a little bit. Yeah. And what was another one? Oh,
they don't cover that on the movie. You have to read that. But I read that last night.
And then they also had another one where this is a little bit sketchy, but they figured they correlated legalizing abortion mm-hmm. with the drop in the crime rate. Right.
Which I think is amazing.
Which I think it's correlation. I don't necessarily want to prove causality right now.
No.
But I think that it's probably some of their premise is definitely somewhat there.
Absolutely.
Because there's not as many unwanted kids in the world. And so they're not nearly as abused, and so there's less criminals.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. Was it Romania? Is that who they?
No, it was in America, actually.
No, I mean what's the word I'm looking for? They looked at Romania and what happened in Romania with the legalizing of, or the word, the mandatory, they didn't legalize abortion. Right? Was it Romania?
No. Well, United States, when Roe versus Wade succeeded.
Yes.
Crime precipitately dropped.
Because women were able to make a choice about whether having a child or not.
And so there was fewer unwanted children.
And
they were less likely to be criminals.
Yes.
And it correlated almost identically to 18 years after abortion restrictions were loosened.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's definitely correlation. But not causality necessarily. But does make, there is a sense to it, and something should be looked at.
Hmm.
But so I think we're at an hour 26.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I think we are time to call it a show. We can tell our stuff.
It's been a show.
So Renee.
Yeah, no.
It's, all you. You're gonna have the quiz.
I'm gonna fail.
What's our email address?
Don't know. All you. Have fun with that.
Renee.
I keep telling you these things. I'm telling you. I keep saying it. I need to take time. I need to fit it in and keep doing it.
It's intellectuallyshallow
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Intellectuallyshallow at gmail.com.
Not hard.
Intellectuallyshallow at gmail.com. I will try to remember that for next Monday.
The phone number, which I cannot remember the phone number for the life of me. I got to look it up online.
It's your number.
It's not my number.
Well, it's, how long have you had this number?
Since the start of the show.
Which was?
I guess, you know, I really came up with the concept last year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in February. Okay. I really didn't have a first show till like October.
Yeah, but it's been like a year.
It's
almost, kind of. You should have it memorized.
Should, but I can't. I remember the old Tales from the Con number for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, good, then you can't give me shit for not memorizing it if you haven't memorized it in almost a year.
I wasn't going to quiz you on the phone number.
Oh, I'm... IntellectuallyShallow at gmail.com. I will remember
the email address. Not that hard.
Hey. You.
The phone number is pretty obscure and hard to remember.
Okay, what is the phone number?
I can't remember it. It's 207 619.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
3862.
Yeah, never going to remember that.
Neither will I.
Ever.
Like I said last show, there's some pattern. God knows I cannot remember what it is.
619. Where the heck did that number come from?
I don't know. That's probably just an exchange that they had.
Wait, who do you have your service through?
It's Google Voice.
Google. Wait, like... Oh, I'm assuming it's like a home line.
No, it's Google Voice.
Oh, that's why. Okay. So that's not really an area code.
No, the area code's 207.
But it's 619.
The exchange is 619.
What the hell is 619?
3862. It's not really related to a geographical place.
Yeah,
my
no.
odds are that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely like satellite.
It's definitely just like
random.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. We've done email, we've done phone number, and now we need you Twitter, and
which is iShallow Show.
Yes.
Facebook is, it's some weird name. There's no real line to that one.
If so you just, type in iShallow.
Just search for Intellectually Shallow.
Intellectually Shallow.
You can find the Facebook group.
Yeah. It comes up that way. That's how I find
it. So I think we're going to call a show. We're like at an hour 28.
It's a long show.
Okay. I will say bye, everybody.
Ciao.
Bye.